Chapter 2. The Politics of American Oil Dependence. Oil provides a unique springboard for analyzing the American society and the problems of power that it poses. Robert Engler, The Politics of Oil, 1961. Oil is a kind of original sin in American politics. It's a big, messy, sometimes dirty business, and it has touched everyone and everything in our political system, from the days of the Rockefellers to Bush and Gore. David Ignatius, The Washington Post, 2000. What makes the new Bush administration different from previous wealthy cabinets is that so many of the officials have links to the same industry, oil. BBC News, January 2001. The glory of the 20th century is now the burden. Oil has soaked deeply, in all likelihood indelibly, into the politics and power structure of the United States, partly because over two bountiful centuries it has also seeped, spouted, and oozed up from so many sections of so many states. More than a fuel, oil became a heritage and also the basis of a lifestyle. In the 1920s, Bruce Barton, an advertising man who became a Republican congressman from New York, described gasoline as the juice of the fountain of youth, a national revivifier through the excursions and explorations it made possible. 80 years later, oil still stands for American independence and fulfillment. Politics has reflected this association. For all the intermittent popular arousal against the creeping, crawling black monster of Standard Oil and later against Big Oil, there is also a sense of bounty. Hundreds of local petrocultures, blending entrepreneurialism and folk history, have underpinned the towering concentrations of wealth and influence built during America's global oil hegemony. And tower that wealth has. Fully half of the 16 richest U.S. companies in 1948 were oil firms. A generation later, the initial Forbes survey of the 400 richest Americans, 1982, set out the largest personal and family fortunes. Of the top 30, more than half had origins in petroleum, America's black gold. As for the millions of small stakeholders, the oil-stained yeomanry of the Allegheny, Pecos, or Williston basins, and the mere part-timers making $50 or $100 per month from the output of a derrick or two, their contribution was to lobby hard in Cheyenne, Topeka, or Baton Rouge, and pose for group photographs published in the inside pages of the Mid-Continent Gas and Oil Association monthly as evidence of grassroots commitment. At the grassroots, oil rarely gushed, but it frequently trickled modest to middling reward. 20th century Oklahomans saw more than 750,000 wells drilled, with oil struck in 72 of 77 counties. A half dozen Los Angeles neighborhoods played host to more derricks than palm trees, and on most days, nearby Huntington Beach counted more drillers than bathers. When Senator Paul Douglas from Prairie, Illinois, where winter blew cold, led a 1954 fight against the oil depletion allowance, the industry's cherished federal income tax break, advisors cautioned that even in that corn-cribbed state, more than one-third of the counties had gas or oil production. Politicians found ratios just as high in Montana, Kansas, and Kentucky. In 10 or 15 states, many Atlantic, oil and gas deposits were virtually non-existent. From Maine to Florida, hints of offshore drilling were shouted down as a threat to fisheries, lobsters, and tourism. New England officeholders, in particular, have been ready to blame the Sun Belt for fuel oil costs, which has prompted Texans to respond with caustic bumper stickers. Drive fast, freeze a Yankee. Nationally, support for the industry outweighed opposition, in as much as 20 to 30 states counted oil and gas as a middling to big business, a proud part of local history, or both. Moreover, when the pride and self-interest of the American automobile culture are added to the commerce of energy, as politically they must be, the balance of power has been as unmistakable as the torque of a 1970s Cadillac or the blessing of air conditioning in summer traffic jams. Environmentalists raise a credible voice, but usually a less influential one. Voters have come to expect cheap gasoline, electricity, and gas and oil heating, as well as the comfort, mobility, and personal independence that hydrocarbons facilitate. Americans constitute the world's most intensive motoring culture. For reasons of history and past abundance, no other national population has clumped so complacently around so fuelish a lifestyle. For many citizens, the century of oil has brought surfeit, gas-guzzling mobile fortresses, family excursions on 20,000 gallons per hour jet aircraft, and lavishly lit McMansions in glittering, mall-packed exurbs along outer beltways. Against a backdrop of declining national oil and gas output, Americans consume 25% of world energy while holding just 5% of its energy resources. As the new century began, Americans enjoyed a lifestyle roughly twice as energy intensive as those in Europe and Japan, some 10 times the global average. Of the world's 520 million automobiles, unsurprisingly, more than 200 million were driven in the United States, and the U.S. car population was increasing at 5 times the rate of the human population. How long that could continue was not clear.